This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 2, 2023, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whenever we look at the Beatitudes, we should always point out, first and foremost, understand that they are speaking much more profoundly of spiritual things than they are temporal things. Another thing we want to look at is the progression of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, those who do not know our Lord and find him. This is the start of our faith. And they get progressively more and more holy and more in depth in our faith until the very last one. And this should be considered with that progress in mind. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is the height of perfection to be persecuted by the evil of this world on account of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is, like I said, the pinnacle. This is where we should all want to go. But it's something that so many people try to shun, the sufferings in this world. I want to talk about in this context, I mean, there's sufferings that come upon us like illness and death and things of that nature that we have no control over. We have control over this kind of suffering, the suffering that you get as a result of who you are, the suffering that you receive from those in this world because of your holiness, because you reflect the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world, and they don't like it. They don't like it, they are offended by it, and they are going to act accordingly, the way the world does. When the world persecutes you, you should glorify in this, because you're almost there. It is the height of perfection to be persecuted for our Lord's sake. Why? Because by our sufferings, for the sake of righteousness, we are made similar to our Lord Jesus Christ. We never want to lose sight of the fact that his entire life was, for all intent and purposes, a continual persecution. It was a continual temptation. It was continual suffering. If you want to be like Jesus, you better be like that. What would Jesus do? He would suffer greatly. This is what he did. And it wasn't a matter of Jesus walking around lamenting over all of these things. He rejoiced in leaving heaven to come down and suffer for our sakes. This is what we're supposed to emulate. We're supposed to emulate it, and that is not in word. It is actually when it's manifest. This is the pinnacle of perfection, the height of Christian perfection, suffering for our Lord. St. Ignatius was asked one time by one of his students, what is the way to perfection? You know, in St. Ignatius Loyola, he writes us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obviously, he writes us the Ignatian exercises, and that's why we go on 40-hour retreats and all this other good stuff that we do with the Ignatian exercises. You would think he would have some long and drawn-out, profound, well, you do this, and you follow these exercises, and you follow this plan. And when he was asked, what is the way to perfection? I quote, if you suffer many and great things for Christ. Man, that's an easy one to remember, but it's one that nobody wants, to suffer many and great things for him. Not just like many, like in little annoyances, or not like one big, huge thing that would be great. Many and great things for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way to perfection. The way to perfection. We're rewarded by this. Is it really? Father Faber wrote a very classic work on the sorrows of our Blessed Mother. Father Faber says in his book, in part, he's talking about suffering. And he says, suffering is the only way, objectively, in this world that we can relate to Jesus Christ. When we are betrayed, when someone dies, when we are in danger, when people do us wrong, that is the only thing that can objectively put us in the shoes of our Lord Jesus Christ. When those things happen to you, either one or several of them, when they happen to you, you can look Jesus dead in the face and go, I know how you felt. You know, when a spouse breaks faithfulness with their spouse, that spouse that has been done wrong will never look at the betrayal of Judas, one whom Jesus loved, or the denial of Peter. They will never look at it the same way, because they can look at Jesus in the face. I know how you feel. It's the only way we know how he feels. It's the only objective way to relate to him, is through suffering. And Father Faber says, it's so interesting, not in a good sense, to understand that when most people are presented this opportunity to get close to our Lord Jesus Christ, to have an opportunity to actually objectively relate to him, that we pray against it. We pray that that opportunity will go away. It's antithetical to what we should do. He said, it's interesting, you have an opportunity to engage with our Lord Jesus Christ, and people pray that it goes away as if they were praying that a temptation to evil would leave them. It's true. How, when something bad is on the horizon or blindsides you, how quick are you to pray? Oh, Lord, take this away from me. Go away. And it is an objective opportunity to get closer to Jesus Christ. Take it away from me. I don't want to get any closer to him. I like going to church on Sunday and singing hymns and praying and doing novenas and stuff. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to relate to Jesus. You don't relate to Jesus that way. It opens your door to the relationship with him that is only manifest when you suffer like he did. It's antithetical toward the Christianity of our day, modernist Catholicism, like Jesus is the one there to take every bit of suffering away from you. That is completely the opposite of the way our faith has always looked at suffering. Completely the opposite. That's a reality of the times in which we live. They're not right. We are supposed to suffer. That's part and parcel. This is why our Lord says it's the Beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, the height of perfection, and you'll be rewarded for it. That last verse, well, it's the last verse we heard from the lecture. Rejoice and be glad, for reward is great in heaven. Period. There's not a period there. There's a period in the lectionary. There's not a period there in the verse. It says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, because the prophets were treated thusly. For they persecuted the prophets before you. This is why your reward is great in heaven. Because why? Because the prophets who were persecuted, who endured these things before you, you will be blessed by them. We call that the communion of saints. You know, usually we stick with just the whole, I like St. Ignatius Loyola. I'm going to pray to him and ask him to do good things for me and watch as we. The prophets of the Old Testament pray for you also, because they can relate to what you're dealing with. You're blessed by them as a community of saints. You are rewarded for suffering. You are living the example of the prophets. You look at the prophets of the Old Testament. It's unfortunate that people are so, let us say, aloof from the Old Testament. They don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I mean, you know who the prophets are, the major prophets. And you, if I said, name me some prophets, you go, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Yeah, you can do that. How did Isaiah die? How did he die? He was sawn in half with a wooden saw. That was an added little extra right there, with a wooden saw. How horrible is that? The guy was sawn in half with a wooden saw. Jeremiah, the Jews stoned him to death. And we hear that about the old stoning. Imagine how horrible that is. I've been hit with a rock before a couple times. It hurts like crazy. Get hit with enough of them to kill you. This is how these guys died. This is why you're rewarded by them, because they really nothing that we're going to put up with in this world, maybe, is going to be equal to anything like that. But they still appreciate and understand that you're enduring things for righteousness' sake, and you will be rewarded for that. Never lose sight of that reward, and then throw that up into your Protestant friends' faces the next time they want to throw the faith alone nonsense up in front of you. The faith alone. And now, it says right here, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are rewarded for these works of what? Suffering. That's what you'll be rewarded for. Doesn't say a word in there about being rewarded for your faith. I mean, it's a no-brainer that you have faith to stand up to sufferings in this world that demonstrate your faith. Like St. James, show me a faith without works and I'll show you a dead faith. How do we show them a living faith? By suffering. And we're rewarded for that. You know, you should be rewarded for this because your mission is, you ever think about this? Your mission is tremendously more important and more far encompassing than those of the Old Testament prophets. They were killed for teaching the law and for trying to get the Jews out of their current problems. Think of what you are called to do for our Lord Jesus Christ and your missionary endeavors. You should be far superior because you don't preach the law to people. You don't tell them if they don't dot I's and cross T's that they'll go to hell. You preach the gospel to them and say, our Lord Jesus Christ dotted the I's and crossed the T's, and now you live a life in conformity with him. You don't just talk to Jews about getting themselves out of prison. You are to be salt of the earth, which is where our Lord takes this after he gets done thinking this. You are the salt of the entire earth. You are to communicate the gospel to other people of salvation through Jesus Christ and through him alone. This is the message of the Catholic Church. The apostles, who, again, were better because of their mission than the Old Testament prophets, they rejoiced in their sufferings. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, you know, they get arrested again, get beaten. Didn't we tell you not to preach in this name? Yeah, but we could only preach. Oh, okay, you know, there's really, I haven't done anything wrong, so let's just beat the heck out of them and send them on their way. You know, in our day and age, I'm going to call my attorney because you beat me and all this other kind of stuff. It was the apostles. They went on their way rejoicing that they had suffered reproach for our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing that they'd been beaten. They didn't call any lawyers. St. Paul, two times in Ephesians, one's in chapter 3 and one in chapter 4, he rejoices in the fact that he's in prison for the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoices, not, hey, I'm going to passively deal with this because I want a stiff upper lip and be a real Christian. No, he rejoiced in the fact that he had been found worthy to actually manifest suffering for our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't prove yourself unless you manifest this. I mean, that's even a thing in this world, proving things. Somebody can join the military, and yeah, he was in the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, whatever, Coast Guard, you know, name your poison. Yeah, he was in the service. He might even be in the service during a war or anything. But when somebody joins the service and they come back with the Congressional Medal of Honor, or a silver star or a bronze star with combat medals on them, then all of a sudden it's a different thing. Somebody has proved themselves. It's not a matter that they just served. They proved themselves through their action. That's us. That's what our Lord demands of us as soldiers, as the emphasis has always been traditionally in the order of confirmation. That whole military motif that goes on with that whole thing, the little slaps in the cheek and things like that, talking about being a good soldier of Christ. You need to prove yourself. That's what we do. It's not a matter of, like I said, passively dealing with it. It's a matter of kind of looking for it on occasion. I'm kind of living right now the darn it man thing. How many times have you heard me say, I get kind of upset when people really don't, you know, aren't mad at what we do here. And then now we're sitting in here. Okay, because obviously somebody was really mad about what we said. Or people were absolutely mad. So, but anyway, it doesn't make any difference. It's manifesting that you're getting you're under somebody's saddle. And that's a good thing for us. That first reading today from 1 John, it proves that you overcome the world when you start paying more attention to Jesus than the world. St. Ignatius, I'll leave you with this example. St. Ignatius of Antioch, one of the earliest Christian martyrs, they're dragging him to Rome, and he's been condemned to the beasts. The governor in his place condemned him to be chewed up by animals, lions, tigers, bears, all that good stuff that they had in the Colosseum. And St. Ignatius, loyal on that, he actually came out into the, because the animals were kind of, animals will be what they will, no matter how mistreated they may be. They don't always do what you want them to do. And a lot of times when they would bring out the Colosseum, the animals wouldn't come near them. St. Ignatius, as opposed to doing what most people would do and go cower over in the side somewhere trying to get out of that place while the animals weren't paying attention to him, St. Ignatius of Antioch says, he gets out in the middle and he looks, and there were at all estimates like 100,000 people in the Colosseum watching this. He stands out in the middle and he says, I wish to benefit from the beasts which are prepared for me. If they will not come to me, I will use force. Now I begin to be a disciple of Christ. This man was condemned for our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I haven't even started to be a disciple of Christ until now. And if these animals won't come at me, I'll use force. I'll throw myself at them. Okay, and he did. He's a martyr. This proves something. That proves something. You just look at that, I was going to say, try to imagine you're him. We can't. We can't even imagine to be him. The kind of picture that scene in your mind. There's some guy coming out, if they don't come at me, I'll use force. That's suffering, not passively, but actively. And this is where you receive your reward. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.